Alright, we'll start at the bottom of Gimel Amud Bet. The Gemara here is trying to figure out what is the source that when a Nara accepts Kiddushin, that the money, or the money of the Kiddushin really belongs to her father. So the Gemara made a number of attempts at doing this. The first attempt to do this was Binurea Beit Aviha, that Kol Sheva Nurim Beit Aviha, that all the value or benefit of her Na'arut belongs to her father. The Gemara rejected that because that pasuk is found by Nidarim. Since it's found by Nidarim, we don't want to carry it over from Nidarim to Mamon. So it's Isura al Mamon al Yalfina, so the Gemara rejects that Limud. The Gemara makes it a second Limud, or it's a possibility, which is that that the possibility to learn it out from Knas. The Knas is, what's the Knas that they would learn it out from? That's from Knas of Ones and Mefate. Right? When it comes to a rape or a seduction, right, the person who perpetrates that is obligated to the father to give him monetary compensation for that. So you see again that there's a certain entitlement there. The Torah calls it Mahara Psulot. It sounds like, right, some sort of value for the Kiddushin. And we say we can't learn from there because that is a Knas. And a Knas is a Kiddush. And Mona Miknasa Lo Yofina. The third attempt of the Gemara to learn it was from Boshet and Pigam. Right, by Boshet and Pigam, we find that the father, again, in the case of Onis, is entitled to Boshet and Pigam. We say, well, that's not Knas, that's monetary. How do you know what's the difference between Knas and monetary matters? Knas is a fixed value, no matter what the subjective damage that was caused. So it doesn't matter, we don't look at any, right, scale or subjective view of what the monetary damage was, we just go fixed amount and that's it. Boshet Pagam are determined by how much Busha was created and how much Pagam. Boshet is by the level of the person that was embarrassed, right? What's their standing in society, who they were, right? Who they were affected by. And Pagam is determined by how much this woman would have sold prior to this event and after this event. So these are subjective monetary matters. So why can't we learn from Boshet Pagam? Where it says that we can't learn from Boshet the Megam. Why? Because Boshet the Megam, the father has a hand in Boshet the Megam. So I would have thought, I mean, that the way I would explain Boshet the Megam, that the father has a hand in it, is that the father is also embarrassed, right, by this. That's not the way. Right, I actually learned it the other way, which is that since the father, right, he has the rights to Boshet the Megam, in that he has the rights to give over his daughter to any person he wants. So he can enter up to a some low life, and that's his entitlement to be Mabayisher and Mabfagim her. And since he has the right to be Mabayisher and Mabfagim her, then if there is Boshet the Megam, then it belongs to him. That's his, since it's his right. So similar to what we have with the Maisei Yadav. Just like if he's able to sell his daughter for Maisei Yadav as Na'amai Briah, that means that the Maisei Yadav belonged to him. If he can sell that value, if he can sell the present value of her output from now until she becomes a bat mitzvah, that means that he really owns her output. Same thing over here. If he has the ability to be mevayish or mepaking her, that means that he really owns the boshet and begam. So that's what you can learn from there, because the father has a hand in boshet begam. So the father, the Gemara now comes to its last, and so we'll start the last line on Gimel Amud Bet, is El Nishtavro. Mythologically, is what? The chimamayit itziya, the kavatam mekamamayit. So the Gemara says that when we are mayit from, when we exclude from the case of Yatzachinam in Kosef, right, that means that that Adon doesn't have Kesef, but another Adon has Kesef. You want to find a parallel case. How do you find a parallel case? Well, the case there is you have a Tana who becomes a Nara. Because she's a Nara, she goes free. And who doesn't get the money? The Adon. So what would be a parallel case by us? If you suggest that the girl as a Nara, that she, what, she keeps her money when she marries herself off in the Kiddushin, that's not the same case. In the case by the Adon and the Amari Priya, there's a third party. The Adon, who would have gotten the money. Over here, the woman is marrying herself up and she gets the money. To create a parallel case, you would want it to be the woman marrying herself up and the Adon, her father, gets the money. So that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, if you're going to exclude something that is parallel. That's parallel. It means that even a girl who is a Na'ara, the money will go to her father. That's the way Rashi learns. The Rabbeinu Hanan, on the other hand, gives an alternative, which says that just like an Amar Ivriya, when does she go free? When she becomes a Na'ara. So too, the case of Yatzachinam and Kasa must be talking about a Na'ara. So now, the Tosfos rejects it. One of the reasons you can reject it is because you could just say that a Na'ara can be married off in two ways. One way is that she marries herself off. The other possibility is that her father marries her off. So according to Rabbeinu Hanan, you could explain the case, right, away as her father marrying her off, not necessarily that she is, right, marrying herself off, right? Whereas here, when if you say the cases have to be parallel, in the case where she marries herself off, no matter who's marrying off, her, herself or her father, the money must go to the Adon, and that would be her father to be parallel to the case by Amar Ibriya. Where it says, it's really not such a comparable case. Why? They're different. These Yitziyot are different. Why? When it comes to Amar Ibriya, she is totally, right? The Adon is totally divested of ownership. He has no rights in this girl anymore. Whereas here, here, marriage takes place in two stages. There's Kiddushin, and then there is Nisuin. So Nisuin or Chuppah is the second stage. Here, the father only gave her for Kiddushin. There's still Nisuin to happen to complete the marriage. She's not totally out of his possession. But it says now, we know that there is some sort of movement of ownership. Why? Because prior to this point in time, the father had sole rights to be nullified in the Darim of his daughter. Once he gives her over in Kiddushin, then he's lost a portion of that right, the Shnan, right, shared rights now. So we know this from the Darim, that a father and the prospective Baal, prospective husband, now are going to share the right to be made for you there. So you see there has been a transfer of ownership, or at least a change in her status by the fact that he no longer can do it himself. And that's enough to show you that there is a Yitzia, that she's really left the possession of her father at this point in time. So Mar says, V'hai Yotzach Minam L'Hafi Hudata? Is that really what this Yotzach Minam is coming for? Mivai like the Tanya, we need it for the price. What? The Tanya, V'Yotzach Minam, Elu Yimei Bagrut. Ein Kesef, Elu Yimei Na'arut. Right, so when he says Yotzach Minam Ein Kesef, we're learning from that a girl who is a minor, she's sold as a katana to be a maidservant, but she goes free when she reaches Na'arut, which is 12 years old, and she also goes free when she reaches Bagrut, which is 12 and a half years old. So when it says, Amar Ravina, so it says, no, we have more room in here. We have more room. You can have a bigger drasha. Why? Because in Kain Lemakra in Kasef without a yud. Right? In Kasef without a yud. My in Kasef with a yud in it. Right? In Kasef Ladona Zeh, but Yesh Kasef Ladona Kher. So we're able to learn both of these things. Now the my new Av, that goes to the father. So you have two drashot here. One drasha is that Yesh Kinam in Kasef teaches you both that a girl who reaches age of 12 will go free. Also, a girl who reaches age of 12 and a half will go free. Obviously, question is, if she goes free at 12, why do you need to know that she goes free at 12 and a half? The Gemara will ask that in a second. But the other limud that we're going to have is our limud here, that Yotzach Minam Ein Kasef is only for the Amar Ibriya, but not for the girl who marries up, and therefore the kasef will go to the adult or her father in that case. So Gemara says, we might have Darshin in Hafni. So the sidebar, the Gemara says, how do you know that you can be Darshin Ein Kasef with a yud or without a yud? How do you know there's such a word, Ein Kasef, without a yud in it? At the Tanya, we have a Brisa, Zera Ein La. This is talking about a Kohen, a Bat Kohen. Bat Kohen is entitled to eat Truma until she is married. Once she is married, if she has children, then she no longer is able to eat Truma. Even if her husband passes away or she's divorced, she's no longer entitled to Truma. On the other hand, if her husband passes away or if she's divorced and she has no children, then she returns to her father's house and eats Truma once again. So the Pasuk there says, Zera Ein La. Ein Li Ela Zara. That's only her direct offspring. Zera, Zera, what happens if she has no longer children, but her grandchildren she has? But it says, Tamagomar, Zera in La, Ayin Allah. You have to look into it. You have to make Ayin Allah means look carefully into it, meaning any offspring will hassle her from going back to her father's house to eat Shuma. Family Allah, Zera Kasher. I don't know, that's only if they are, right, not Ksulim. But if they're Ksherim, right, that you would think that Zera Pasul Minayin, how do I know if there's a Mamzer here, or if there's somebody who's a Pasul, that she, right, can return to, I mean, she can, cannot return to her father's house to eat Shuma. Tamalumar, Zera in La, Ayin Allah. Again, to look into it. Any offspring, anything was there would be sufficient. So now I just point out, Gemara says, Avahavikte Lazera Zera, we already used that for grandchildren, how can you also use it for Pasul? Gemara says, Zera Zera, go eat Strichra. Grandchildren you need the pasuk for. Why? That's a general principle that Gemara establishes in Yevamot and other places, that grandchildren are the equivalent of children. But we don't differentiate an offspring. Grandchildren, children are equivalent. Grandchildren are children in that sense, and therefore you don't need a specific pasuk to include that. That's Zera. So Zera in La comes to teach us about Slim. So Kizrikra, the Zera pasul. When do I need a pasuk to teach me only about Zera pasul? Now, I'll just point out here that the moms here, when we talk about Zera pasul, it has to be in her grandchildren. The Reese says that here. Why? Because if her child is a pasul, for instance, how did she get a child who's a mamzer? She had to have married a mamzer. She marries a mamzer, and she becomes a psula lekuna because she becomes a zona. She is now, she married or had a relation with someone who is pasul lekuna. That makes her into a psula lekuna zona. So she can't go back to her father's house irrespective of whether she has children or not. So Rebbe points out that only momtem zera pasul must be the grandchildren that have a mamzer that's a grandchild, because any child that she would have that has a psula in it would be generated by her becoming a pasul also, and therefore she wouldn't be able to go to her father's, back to her father's house. So it must be there to the, when the Gemara says pasul, it's talking about the grandchildren that have a pasul, they have a mom, they have a grandchild. And that still will be a valid offspring to have her not return to her house. Why do we bring all of this? Where does he know that we make such a drasha that we're dying over here? He's not zera in la, they're darshaning the yud of ain to make into ayin. How do you know that he darshaning the yud? But that's it. Amrei ketiv. It says in the pasuk me'ain bil'am or me'ain yivami. So we see that there are by bil'am it says he refused to go with the messengers. Me'ain bil'am aloch, right? And me'ain yivami over here. The yavam refuses to perform yivam. So you see the word ain here is spelled without a yud. So you see that it's sufficient to have aleph nun mean the word aim, and if you add in a yud there, that's already going to be available or offer you the opportunity to make a drasha. And that's because
what?
Right. Ain means he refused, right? He refused. Ain.
It's
a.
It's not there.
I would say it's not the exact translation, but it's in the family of right, a negative, right? Now it's a refusal or a.
Why are you missing the Zohar verse if you forget? Don't they need the action?
They will, if they need it. I mean, that, assuming that we need the drasha, they will be dorish in those instances. Right, it's an option. It's an option to use it. But again, you have to, for these types of drashas, you need them so wrong that there is a drasha in these instances. Right, that it's not, he had no intention of going with this, right? I'm saying it's a play on it. That refusal, why is he refusing to go? Or why is the Yabam refusing to do it? Because he doesn't want to, right? If he doesn't want to, then it's aim, right? That he doesn't want to do it. Right, I think it's not exact matchup, as you point out, but close enough that it can darshan the other places, the yud of the word. Right, so now, over there there's no yud. Over here we have a yud, so therefore Shmamiyel drasha hu da'atus. So therefore it's available for the drasha, both in the case of Zera in La, and also in our instance over here with Yatzachinam Ein Kotzev. So the yud will be available for drasha in these two instances. Right now, we have two different drushes. One drush is Yatzachinam Ein Kasev, which means that the Kesev Kiddushin goes to the father. We also another pasuk which says that the Mechim Kor Isha Bidole Ama. From that we learned what? Ma Isha Maseh Adel Rabbah, Afat Nami Maseh Adel the Rabbah, or to her father, Labiah. I want to know, how come I need two psukim? If I know that I can get the Kesev Kiddushin, or if I know I can get her output, why are the two different? I mean, they're both basically a value or that's generated by this daughter. So if you have one limud, why do I need both limud? The Gemara says it's istrich. Why? The ikot of Rachmani Kiddushi al Abiyah, if I thought just the case of Kiddushi went to the father, because he didn't, right? She didn't do anything for that, the case of Kiddushi. That's the deduction, is just because she exists. She doesn't work for that. She doesn't produce anything. But Maisi Adel, the Kratarchabu, when it comes to output, where she actually puts effort into the Maisi Adel, dying, right? Aim at the dog, but they should belong to her. So he has been in my seat there. On the other hand, if we just heard about her output to come in Zanamine, because that's a trade-off. We know that the Maisi Adayim are in exchange for feeding her. So since the father is providing her food in exchange for these Maisi Adayim, of course he's entitled to Maisi Adayim. And Kiddushin come because she exists. There's nobody doing anything to have these impressive Kiddushin come about. So the father should also not be entitled to it. Maybe they should belong to her. So Tariqa, therefore I have a puzzle to teach me both the output of the girl, as well as the Kiddushin, because the Kiddushin belong to the father. Now, Gufa. All right, now the Gemara is going to discuss the issue that we mentioned, which is that Bayotzachinam, Eli May Bagrut, in Kasav, Eli May Narut. So when it says, well, just a simple thing, Vilichdel, Yachman, and Narut, just write down Narut, which is a 12, Vilobay Bagrut, then I don't need 12 and a half. How come I ever need 12 and a half if 12 is the cutoff time that you'll go free? So I'm a rabble, Bazeb, Limanel Zeb. This one teaches you about the other. Because the default, how do I had only one opportunity to learn, I would assume, to when does she go free? Which is Bagrut, which is 12 and a half. So if I don't have two limudim, then the limud I would use automatically for 12 and a half. Once I have two limudim, it offers me the opportunity to say one is for 12 and a half, and the other one is for 12. So that's what the purpose of the two limudim are. Not to teach me that there's anything significant about going out of 12 and a half, but just a stepping stone to getting to 12. And we have a similar thing, we either have a Tosha V'Sachir. Same thing as a Tosha V'Sachir, it's not about a Kohen, and generally the possessions of a Kohen can eat Tumah along with it, which means that the animals of a Kohen, the wife of a Kohen, the Eved Kenani of a Kohen, all are entitled to partake in Tumah. Who is not entitled to partake in Tumah with a Kohen? That is an Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri is not entitled to eat Tumah of the Kohen. An Eved Ivri had manifested itself in two ways. What are the two ways of having an Eved Ivri? Either that he was sold into slavery to this Baal at one point in time, and he's in his first year, 7 years of work, right? Then there's a possibility of an Eved Ivri was near to that, right? He said, I wanted to stay on longer. He got his ear pierced through the wall, and he stays on to the Yovel. So he's a much longer duration Eved Ivri. So those two types of Eved Ivri, which one can eat or not eat Tumah? So the Torah or the Gemara Dashim said neither of them can eat Tumah. How do I know this? Because the Pasuk says, Toshav V'Sachir. So who's a Toshav V'Sachir? The Tanya. Toshav Zeh Kin Kanui Kinyan Olam. The Toshav is a Eved Ivri that stays until the Yovel, because he's Toshav, he's Miyushav there. He's staying there for a long time. Sachir, a laborer of sorts, right? Zeh Kanui Kinyan Shanim. He's the one who lasts only for the 7 years. So that's it, neither of them. So the Gemara says, well, Yomar Toshav, if I know that a Eved Ivri who stays till the Yovel doesn't eat Tumah, then certainly the Eved Ivri is only there for a couple of years, is not going to eat. Well, Yomar Sachir, Bani Omer, Konik, Bani Olam, Eno Ochel, the one who's there till the Yovel doesn't eat Tumah, Konik, Kinyan Shanim, Lokol Shukain, then certainly the one who is, what? Kinyan Shanim will not eat. So why do I need two Psukim for this, or two words, Toshav and Sachir? Elokain, Elokain, Hayit Omer, Tashuv, Toshav. Had I just had the word Toshav, I would have said, Zekin, Kanoi, Kinyan Shanim. I would have taken the least kiddush. What's the least kiddush in the puzzle? To say that an Eved Ivri was only there for a couple of years.
Only he doesn't
eat Tumah, but a guy was there for until the Yovel, he's already considered like the possession of the Kohen. He says, so, Yilukain, Yitomer Toshav, Zekinyan Kinyan Shanim. That Toshav, the definition of the word Toshav is one who is there for a certain amount of years. He'll be entitled to eat. So, Basachir, Vlimeno Toshav. So, the additional word Sachir to teach you what the word Toshav means in this case. Because even if he is there until the Yovel, then it's what? He doesn't eat Tumah. So again, it's a similar type of setup that we have here. And that you don't need both, but you need both because, technically, if you knew that the Kinyan Olam doesn't eat, then certainly Kinyan Shanim doesn't eat. But the only way to get the Kinyan Olam, you need a stepping stone, is to have the Kinyan Shanim be Asur, then to know that the next word means Kinyan Olam. So say to our case, we wouldn't know Bogeret, and we wouldn't know Narut unless we have Bogeret. Because without Bogeret, I wouldn't learn the second word to mean Narut. So I'm like, the cases aren't similar. So the Rabbi says, and Rabbi's suggesting here, that what happens if the Torah had explicitly written both of them? Has the Torah explicitly written both a Kanoi Kinyan Olam, an Eved Ivri that's there for till the Yovel, and an Eved Ivri for the Shanim? Would you say that it's extraneous? No, I would argue that even if the Torah wrote explicitly, I would say that which is the Torah could have learned from a Kal Vachomer. Nevertheless, the Torah went out of its way to write something that could have otherwise been learned through a logical argument. Then you could say, why? Right? Because over there, they are two different people. But of a Hocha, Chad Gufahi. Right? So if you hear, there's only one person involved. Right? But he knocked the love in Narut. If she goes out by Narut, so had the Torah explicitly written both Narut and Bagrut, you would not argue that, right, it's one person. You can't argue that it's a Kal Vachomer that the Torah went out of its way to write. No, because you see, I don't see that's not a logical argument. Because had the Torah written explicitly, you couldn't argue that the Torah needed to write it explicitly. So once Narut is written, Bagrut becomes meaningless. And that's the point. I mean, it's the same question we had originally, but he's deepening the question by saying that I don't see your logic in having two limudim, because you can't have two limudim for the same person. You don't ever get to the second limud. As opposed to the Toshav Sachir, you need two limudim. Why? Because if there was a possibility, for instance, that a Kinyan Olam ate Tumah and a Kinyan Shanim didn't, even though you needed to go through Kinyan Shanim to get to Kinyan Olam, that'd be fine. The Kinyan Olam, once you got there, would eat Tumah. So there's a possibility that here you can never have an Isha Bagrut to get there. No, there is a case. You have You can have a woman who does not reach Na'arut, but does reach Bagrut. And what is that? That's a woman who never shows simanim of reaching puberty. She never reaches that. She remains an eilonit. And therefore, what's her status? What her status when she doesn't reach puberty? She doesn't show signs of Na'arut, right? Then how does she go free? She goes free as what? As a boger, when she's a boger, an eilonit. Sakadat kamina bin Na'arut book. That everybody goes out Na'arut. But Bagrut loti book. But if you don't have Na'arut, you don't go out ever. Kamash Malan, that Bagrut, that a woman who does not act, there are, that's what the Gemara came up with. I came up with a hesitant so, but there is a possibility that if a girl who does not reach Na'arut but will reach Bagrut, which is a woman who never reaches that status of Na'arut, and I would have thought if that's the case, she never goes out. So that was the Torah comes to teach me, and Bagrut teaches me this woman who never reaches the status of Na'arut still has another opportunity to get it out, and that opportunity is the opportunity of Bagrut, and the time that she reaches to be a Bagrut.
20.
Right, because that's the din of an eilonit. How do you know a bogeret in general? A bogeret is after 12 and a half. That's when she hits a na'arut, and 6 months later she hits a bogeret. But an eilonit who never shows simanei na'arut, when do we define her or classify her as an eilonit? If she never shows these simanim until she reaches the age of 20. Once she reaches the rate of 20, we're certain that she will never see a na'arut, and then she gets reclassified as a bogeret automatically.
That's
interesting.
So you could just say that maybe she's just a late bloomer.
But she's a late bloomer. She will hit Na'arut at some point. I mean, that she will classify up to the Rabbah. We have up to the Rabbah, which is that we assume that there is Na'arut, unless she's not showing Simanei Na'arut. But there are the Gemara has a list of three or four things that are show Simanei Na'arut. Right, he mentions them from Yevamot. That there are simanim that are shown by a naro. If she doesn't show those, then we start to be suspicious. In general, there's what's called in Sanhedrin, and so the Gemara mentions that there are other places that goes up with the rabble. When a person comes of age, they reach puberty, we assume that's the case, unless there's evidence to the contrary. So we'll assume, even if she's a late bloomer, that she will hit Na'arut, and we see she does hit Na'arut, we know that it was the case that she's a late bloomer. The problem is that when she hits 20 and nothing happens, we know there was no late blooming issue. There's an issue that she never reached Na'arut. Okay. Matkulah marva rabashi. Valab kaba chomeru. Why isn't it kaba chomeru? Masimanim shein motzim rishut ha'av, motzim rishut ha'adon. The simanim that take you out of the rishut ha'av, right? Motzim rishut ha'adon. Bagrut shemotzim rishut ha'av. You know, the inshemotzim rishut ha'adon. Right? So if you have simanim, a girl who becomes of age, right, becomes of age, does not automatically go away from her father. I mean, as a Nara, the father's still entitled to take kiss of Kiddushin and marry her off. But by a Amar Nivriya, she goes free right away. Then, when it comes to Bagrut, the father loses all control. Once a girl reaches 12 and a half, the father has no rights in the daughter anymore and goes free. Then, Kaba Chomer, certainly, certainly, it should work by a master in Amar Nivriya. Amar Avashi,
Marcus. So, why do I need the pursuit of the.
Exactly. I don't need Bagrut at all. I mean, Bagrut may learn through a Kaba Chomer. So Marav Ravashi offers another possibility why I need Bagrut. Right, I need it for the underlying, right, the sale of an Ilonit. Why? That it only works, that an Amma Ivriya can only be sold if she reaches the point of Na'arut. I mean, that it won't be a Mecca Tot, right, and if it won't be a Mecca Tot, my seller, and she reaches Na'arut. If he sells his daughter to be an Amri Briya, in the end she never reaches, right, in Na'arut, it'll be a failed sale because the underlying premise of the sale was mistaken. And since the Mecca Coast, we're going to reverse the sale. What does that mean, we reverse the sale? That's just significant, right?
No, because you can't know. So
later on. But you know what that means? You're going to reverse the sale? You have to give back, you get all her output for all those years. He's going to have to give back the money that he paid for her, and you have to give back all the monetary output there. It's a pretty complicated transaction here to reverse. Right? Then you can't. So you would say the possibility that an eilonit could not be sold in these instances, in like any other banan. And that's what it comes from.
Kamash Malan. No,
but you have to chinam. That's Kamash Malan. But you have to chinam. Comes to teach me that there is such a thing. That there is such a thing as an Amma Ivriya, but only reaches Bagrut and doesn't reach Na'arut. But that is a qualified sale. When you sell eilonit, that is a qualified sale, and the sale will remain in place. It's not a failed sale. So that's the Yav Sachinam. That's Marva Ravashis. So my says, Marva Ravashi, Dhamma Ravab Kaba Khomer, who, right, does he say the Kaba Khomer, Amina and Milsadach Bakomer, Karapakat of Lakra? Why did you just say, you're right, okay, it is a Kaba Khomer, but the Pasuk went out of its way to write it, even though it is a Kaba Khomer that you can learn Bakut. Adamila, Ekat Lekla Shnuye, no, the only time we say that Karapakat of Lakra is when we have nothing else to learn. Right? If we have a better answer, we're going to give that answer. And that's what Mar Rav Ashi did over here. So we have three answers to the possibility of why you needed Narut and Bagrut. We have Rabba, Abaye, and Mar Rav Ashi. Rabba says the reason we needed two Sufim is because I would never have known Bagrut unless I write Narut. It's seven stone. If I had just one choice, I would have chosen, right? I would have chosen Bagrut and not Narut. So I have Bagrut to tell me that the Narut is the second limud in the Pasuk. That's Abaye's answer. Rabba says, I don't need that because you're talking about one person. You can never get there. So Rabba introduces the possibility of having someone who's a bogeret without being a nara. That is an ironis. So that's Rabba's answer. But Barbara Vash says, well, even Rabba, I can learn your issue from a kal v'chomer. Your issue is from a kal v'chomer. If an ama griya goes free when she comes of age, and a father doesn't have rights in her, but a father, when a daughter reaches bogeret, goes free, then certainly a bogeret will go free when she's with an ama griya. So I have a kal v'chomer that I don't need your limud at all, Rabba. So what does Barbara Vash do? He says, listen, maybe you would think that only someone who reaches Narut can qualify to be sold as an Amar Yivriya, but if she can't be sold into, right, to reach Narut, then it would be a disqualified sale. So that was the consequence. Yes, can I teach me, but Ruth and Narut both qualify a girl for an Amar Yivriya to be sold as a Amar Yivriya. Okay, now, Marissa says, the Tana Matil Mehaka. Now, didn't the Mishnah bring this from somewhere else? Now, we've had two sources for the fact that there is Kesem Kiddushin. One source was Stay from, right, that taught us that there is a, you can do Kiddushin through Kesem. The second was the Yatzachina main Kasef. Why do I need two Psukim to teach me that there is Kesef Kiddushin here, right? Why do I need two Psukim? So Tana, like Michael, Hoppa the Tanya, Ki Tachichi Shau Vala. Vaya in Motim Sapin Mina, Ki Matsa Bayer Vatavar, and Ki Chayla the Kesef. How do I know there's only Ki Chayla with monetary means? Chayla Mer, Natatia Kesef, Asadeh Kachmi Meni, right? That's by Ephraim, but then he buys this from Ephraim, we know that he does it through money, and there's exchange of a field. Hello, Dinu. Why do I need a pasuk at all? There's a kal v'chomer. Uma ama yivriya shino niknei b'biyah. Lama yivriya cannot be acquired through biyah, but can be niknei b'kesef. Is able to be bought through money. I mean, that's an exchange. The father sells his daughter as an ama yivriya. Zush niknei b'biyah, a daughter, when is brought into kedushin, can be acquired in three ways. One of the three ways is biyah. And did she niknei b'kesef? Certainly she should be able to be purchased with kesef. Right? Says, but she can have kesef. She certainly should be able to be acquired or have Kiddushin be done with Kesef. See, Vama Tochiyah. No, I have another example where I have a woman who is, right, getting married there only via works and not Kesef. What's that? Vama, she nicknamed the Bia, that she's only able to have a relationship through Bia. They don't nickname the Kesef, and money doesn't work. So you see, there is such a paradigm that you can have via work and not Kesef. So why? I can't prove anything that an Amma Yivriya has Kesef work and not Bia. I can't prove anything to Kiddushin from that. So when I says, Mother Vama, she ain't candy nicknamed the Shtar. Why do you bring me an example from Yivama? Your mama can't work through shtar. And that a kiddushin has an additional, right, value, which is that it's even better than Yivama. It has bia and it has shtar. Right? So my position, it may be shtar. So Tamalomar, that's the puzzle comes to Kiyakh Ish. Puzzle comes to teach you Kiyakh Ish. So my says, Halamali Kra. The Kabakomer just works. So my Kiyakh Ish, Halamali Kra. So what do you mean? What do I need a puzzle for? Ajallah. It just worked that in a Kabakomer. Amrav Ashi, if you assume the Ikla Maymar, me cover the Dina Pircha, that the original Limud is broken from the start. Why? Mehekin came Michael up. Ami Yivriya. You brought it out from an Ami Yivriya. Mal Ami Yivriya. She can yotzav a kesef. An Ami Yivriya, right, goes out with kesef. Tumar zu. She ain't a yotzav a kesef. This person doesn't go out with kesef. So you can't learn from Ami Yivriya at all because an Ami Yivriya, right, has a different kula that's associated with, which is what it can be, right? That it can be. She can be redeemed. She can be bought back. She can be freed with kesef. That does not work by a regular woman. Therefore, we can't use. We can't be lomi. They're chumrot and kula in each of them, so you can't learn from one to the other. So Yitzhak the Mikhtav Yotzachinam, Yitzhak the Mikhtav Kikachish. So I need both limudim, one of Stay Ephron, and I need the one of Kikach. Dika the Ephron of Kikach, Habamina Kiddushin Deav Labal Didahabu. Right, that the Kiddushin that the Baal gave her belonged to her. Kata Rachmana Viyatzachinam. Therefore, they come back to Ham, teaches me it belongs to the father. Right? Dika the Ephron of Viyatzachinam, Habamina Hechad Yava Ihi Lididei, Vikidesto Habi Kiddushin. I would have thought only what? When she gives over the Kiddushin, then the Yava. I'm sorry, Yava Ili Diday, that is given over to the father, because he's still having Kedusha, Kadar Rahmana, Kikach, the low Ki Tikach. So this is an interesting limud here. I would have thought, right, had I not had the puzzle of Kikach, and just the puzzle of Yes, if you're not being Kassif, I would have thought all there has to be is some money that transacts over here. Right, so what does Rashi says over here? Rashi says that if he didn't have Kikach, you would have thought the woman. Yidden could give the money and say to the and say about the man that you should, I should be right mikudeshet to you, that I should be. Where does Rashi say kitikach? Rashi says over here. I'm sorry, I can't find it. You should be mitzkudesh to me. So that's what Rashi says, that you could have the woman initiate the kiddushin and give the kesef. That was good. So you kikach shows that only the man can do it. That's the way Rashi went. Tosafot says, what do you mean? The woman can never say that. The word kiddushin means that you're designated or unique to this individual. A woman can never say that to the man. A man can never say to the man, you're designated, because a man can marry multiple women. It's the wrong question. You can't say it that way. Tosafot explains over here, if I didn't have kikach, I would have thought that the woman could say to the man, what? Here's the kesef, and then say that you are I am mitzkadesh to you through this kesef. Not that she's saying you are mitzkadesh to me, but she will say I am mitzkadesh to you through the kesef that I just gave you. So the language will stay the same, but that she's the one being mitzkadesh. The question is who's giving the money, whether it's the husband giving the money and saying it, or she's giving the money and saying it. But either way, so that's what I need both of them for. I need Yitzhak Inam to teach me what? That the money belongs to the father and not to the daughter. And I need the pasuk of kikach to teach me that the money must be coming from, and the kedushin come from the husband's side and not from the woman's side. Okay, ubala. So this is probably your question. Ubala, malam echinikneid bbiya. Right, we say kikach isha ubala. I learned that you need kedushin through ubala. Below dinu is in a kama chomer. Ma yibama shininikneid bkesef. A yibama that is not what acquired through kesef through monetary means nikneid bbiya is acquired through bbiya. Zushinikneid bkesef. Now we know that kedushin can be done through kesef. Is she nicknamed Bia? Certainly she should be nicknamed with Bia. Amar Bia Tokia. Amar Bia. The reverse.
Good answer to share.
What? So Amar Bria Tochiach, she nicknamed the Kesef, they nicknamed the Bia. So let's see, when Amar Bia proves that point, you can have Kesef without Bia. So the Mar says, Mother, Amar Bia, she didn't know the Shemi Shoots. Amar Bia, when she's purchased, is not purchased with Shemi Shoots, so we're not going to leave that out. It's not a good limit from there. Talking about Bazoo, she nicknamed the Shemi Shoots. Over here, she's being acquired for Shoots, so then maybe it's a difference. Maybe here it'll make a difference. I'm alone, or Bala. So that's why it says Bala. So the Mar says, Homely Crop. Yeah, the Palakoma works, but I need the puzzle, I actually love. So I'm Rabbi, we shouldn't make the name of me card the Dina Pirkha. There's a Pirkha from the beginning. Maybe they might love me, Vama. You bring it from me, Vama. Mala Vama, she can skook up omedit. Vama already has a relationship with the person she's about to marry because of the first marriage of his brother. So Rabbi, she can skook up omedit. This woman doesn't have any relationship, prior relationship here. Tamalom or Bala. So that's why we need the Pasuk of Bala. What I would say here, just to answer all the questions, is that the Torah is after learning by Kedushin, Kesef, Bia, Shar, they need to learn all these things by a woman. Right now, Kesef and Bia, they try to learn out. They try to learn Kesef from Nama and Bia, they try to learn Bia from a Yivama. The Gemara in the end rejects both of them. Now, it's probable that the Gemara knew already that they had to leave with him, and they just went through the exercise of looking at these possibilities here. Now, the possibilities fail for a number of reasons. They fail. Tosafot discusses multiple reasons why the Kalam Chomer maybe shouldn't work, and the Gemara in the end also brings up a reason. So the Gemara is testing why do we need the Limud, and testing the logic to see where the logic breaks down. So I think it's a process that the Gemara is going through to just show why the Limud is necessary, why the puzzle is necessary, but not to show you that these Kalam Chomers are not strong Kalam Chomers to start with because of the failures. There are differences that we see right away, that Yikara Pirkha, that there's a, right, these are different cases. Amma Yikara is different than Ishus, Yivoma is different than Ishus, there's differences, and therefore it's not so easy to learn from one to the other. We're going to try, but then the question fails, and that's why we have a puzzle to teach us both that you need Kesef and Bia come from a Liman and a puzzle and not from a Kabbalah. All right, we'll stop over here.